You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hi. Happy end of May, and holidays are coming up. It's Elizabeth Powell on Tech Trend Investments.
And it's Joseph Grassa with Tech Trend Investments. It is kind of approaching the end of May. So it's the 21st, but still seems so far out of reach, about a week away.
It's going by fast, isn't it?
Depends on where you are and how the weather's been.
Okay. I'll give you that one.
It's gone a little bit slower, but over the past couple of days, it's gone by super quick.
Yeah.
It's been a lot happening in the market.
A lot has been happening in the market. It's awesome. A lot of activity and some exciting things going on that's causing rallies right now. If y'all haven't been paying attention to what's been going on in crypto right now.
Crypto has been crazy. A lot of big news has been brought to light. The main news being that the ETH ETF has a high chance of happening.
Yes.
And that has caused a rally all over crypto.
Yes. The stock market looks like it's been rallying too because of, I don't know necessarily that, but it's been optimistic also. But we have some good things going on in crypto right now. And then the ETF, which caused a rally. So we are like at around 2,900 and it spiked up and we're hovering around 3,800 right now.
It's around 38 right now. Oh my God. I didn't even check yet today. 3,800. Yeah. I didn't even need to look.
Yeah, 3,800. We've been hovering around 3,790, 3,800. I don't know if we broke it or not. I didn't check.
I can check that right now. I have a feeling that we touched above it. We had to have broken it.
Yeah, so we went up 30% in what, 24 hours?
Yep.
30%. And Bitcoin is close to 70 something right now. I didn't check and see exactly what Bitcoin's at. It rallied Bitcoin? Also. Yeah.
I will check everything right now. It's always up.
Yeah, it's at 70 right now. It hit 72.44. Let's see the last couple days. It almost hit 72.
Well,
71.424. No, that was a while ago.
Tapped 72, but I found a resistance there. That was recently.
So it's at 72.14. Yeah, but it's still high. I mean, we're almost at
all-time
highs again.
Almost there. Almost there. ETH tapped 38.42.
Which one?
ETH tapped 38.42.
Nice.
I think that if we can maintain this, ETH might see the 4,000 range again.
Right. And then hopefully beat the ATH, our all-time high. More slang.
I think we've touched on the ATH, though, the meaning of ATH is.
ATH is all-time high.
All-time high. Yeah, the ATH of Ethereum is definitely possible. It's around 5K.
Well, what was our ATH? 44-ish, wasn't it? Did we touch 5?
Yeah, we touched 5 on ETH.
Oh, okay. Exciting. That'd be awesome going back to 5. I'll take that.
The 5 was like, I guess,
a spike
for like a minute. A spike. Somebody touched it. Someone bought in, and then everyone's like, "Okay, we're selling. It's way too high right now."
They have all their snipers at that trigger point, like we talk about.
Hey, you know what? People are analyzing the market, and if you're looking right now, we're in the middle of two really big resistances, one being at 3570-ish and the other one being at 4100. So we're chilling right in the middle of there right now.
But if it breaks 3570, it's going to move on to the next.
It's already broken 3570
in the last 24.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well then
we're on our way up.
There we go. We've been too busy with all the other aspects of the market lately to watch ETH. We're just excited that ETH is rallying right now.
We're very excited about that. And we're very excited about Trump meme coins.
Well, the other news too, and like, I don't want to be political, but Trump is accepting crypto now for his campaign contributions. So that's a positive note towards crypto, like an expansion. And then I think Biden might be following the bandwagon on that from what I'm hearing. So they're bringing crypto into politics.
Very interesting.
Right. That was announced today. So that also can have an effect on the market too, because that means that we won't have strict guidelines or policies probably in the future. We'll have We'll have more expansive opportunities.
So what are your thoughts on that? Like in terms of the acceptance of cryptocurrencies and presidential campaigns?
I think it's just like a precedent that to show that the policies are going to be more expansive and they're open, that it's not restrictive on the guidelines. And so it's not necessarily a political thing. It's more opening up more doors and then also capturing a bigger market because of it, right? So we're capturing a bigger market and the crypto part of it. And then the politicians that are being expansive on it are increasing their market share. That's their goal too. And now with ETF, on top of that, we have a lot of positive news in the market in the last 24 to 48.
Yeah, it's definitely helped the markets as a whole, both ETH and Bitcoin. So that I think that's definitely a positive.
Yeah.
And the SEC too, with everything that I think this presidential campaign has really, in all the news around cryptocurrencies, is almost forcing the SEC to take a deeper dive into the ETH ETF because of all the hype around it and the constant talk now that it's going to be accepted. So they're like, oh, we have to get on this now because it's going to be a prominent factor in the current future. In, like, I say current future because it's probably happening
right
already.
Right. I mean, the good thing too is like, helping with these guidelines and the SEC and ETF and all the things that are going on, it's helping bring it more mainstream. So it's not so mysterious anymore, right? The more people that have knowledge about it, the more companies that are utilizing it, the more mutual funds that are bringing on board, financial planners are getting educated. People are getting educated. It's expanding the use of crypto, so it's not so mysterious and so unknown, which helps the market and also helps investors. So the more people that have a better understanding and a better knowledge of crypto and how it works, and it opens up a lot more doors and a lot more people are utilizing it, it's demystifying it. It's helping it become more mainstream, and which makes it to incur better investors. It makes people invest smarter and then educated and learn more about it and then profit because of that.
No, you're providing new perspectives for me as well.
Philosophical thinking at 6 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Extremely deep philosophical thinking.
Okay. Right. But the more people we bring into the market, the more educated they get, the better understanding, that's the benefit for crypto, right? The more people know about something, the better it becomes, because then you won't have all these fake things happening because people are educated now. They understand better, which is good.
Education is good for, especially with upcoming markets. And like what happened with Google, for example, like the .com era. Mm-hmm. When everyone was trying to figure out, okay, what is this and how do I move around it? And then, right after the dark web. And it's like you get through different stages,
right?
New tech. And in this case, it's a whole new ecosystem, almost like a whole new kind of like way to live. So
right.
it takes time. It takes people to learn and people to jump on that risk. And for key people like residents now and the SEC to open their doors to it a bit more, education and risk and everything will probably start getting mitigated because of all the eyes that are going to be drawn towards it.
Right. We won't have such a high risk anymore because people understand how to do things better, which will eliminate a lot of risk, right? I think when things become more stable and more mainstream or more popular, a lot of people understand what's going on and are more cautious and enter wisely versus taking a high risk. So, of course, though, once we have a high risk, we always have a high reward, right? Because you're entering into a high risk. And so you need that high reward to enter into high risk. But when things become more stable, the risk will go down, but so will the reward because we're becoming more stable. Hence, the price of ETH going up and the price of BTC going up is becoming more stable. And so it's not as a high risk. And so it's higher to enter, which means that your reward isn't going to be as great versus if you entered when it was $10 or $100, you don't know what was going to happen back then. And so you have a higher risk and a higher reward.
Yeah. And now it's like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. It's at 4K, but it could just only go to like 4.5, 5K. And that would be it. And you're not making nearly as much as if you took the risk.
Entered 100, right?
So high risk, high reward right now, especially because no one knows what's exactly going to happen.
But it's more stable too. So it's in the positive. It's leaning towards the positive. And so the risk is going down. It's being more mitigated. But we're getting closer to the numbers that are comfortable. But then, of course, we utilize it in other trading, like meme coins, which have high rewards.
I'd say that's always going to be high risk. And that's going to be where everybody goes for their risk.
Right.
And it's the high risk, high reward. Everyone loves it. High risk, high reward. Not for everybody.
Right.
But there are stables. There are ways to maintain a stable portfolio within cryptocurrencies and to diversify within crypto itself. So one thing that I've kind of delved into over the years now is diversifying crypto. Because you can diversify Web2 assets and real life assets. You can buy houses, you can buy businesses, you can, I want gold, stocks, bonds, watches, art, whatever you, cars, all different forms of assets, and cars being a liability. And you can diversify everything. So in crypto, you can meme coins, stables, being ETH and Bitcoin. Altcoins, NFTs, there's stigma behind that.
Digital assets, right?
You can get into gaming tokens and ecosystem tokens or even launch pads, incubators, invest in those. There's different ways to go about it now that they're just, the doors are opening.
Well, the other good thing too about tokens and NFTs and Web3 and digital assets is a lot of businesses are moving over towards that, where they're tying their business to, and versus going to venture capital and raising funds with VCs and venture capital, they're coming into Web3 and raising funds on token launches, like in private sales and pre-sales, and then launching the token and then generating cash flow from taxes. But attaching a business or a utility or real world asset, so RWA, to that token. And so now people in Web3 can be investors in that business and take that risk to enter into that business and hope that the valuation goes up by buying the token and buying into a pink cell or a private cell or a pre-sell before the token launches. And then also when the token launches, entering into that and then becoming quote unquote an owner because you're owning part of that business by owning that token. But a lot of people are now moving over, like, just real world businesses are moving over, which are, I don't, what do they have? Like a sandwich shop? Somebody told me. There was a token that was tied to a sandwich shop.
That's something I've never heard before. So you can buy the token and get like credits at like the sandwich shop and get like
that'd be kind of cool though.
You own 100 of these tokens and you can get a sandwich.
Well, can you imagine if Starbucks started doing tokens? Like, they might do that.
I remember Starbucks, it was about a year and a half ago, they mentioned getting doing a Web3 membership for the US.
Like with an NFT or with a token?
With an NFT. It's like a membership pass, which is another way to go about it for businesses, getting like minting an on-chain, like almost like membership where you can sell it, you could trade it, you can do whatever you want with it. And it would stay on chain forever so you don't lose it. Oh, I lost my phone, but your wallet, you never lose your wallet unless you lose your receipt phrase. But
Gary V did that, and so did the Nelk Boys. They had passes to concerts and passes to events with NFTs and digital assets. So Starbucks would do the same thing with you. Well. Huh?
That the Gary V event, so that's VCon, that worked out very, very well. And that had a lot of reach from Web 2 as well. I think because there was a lot of people that were hearing about Gary Vee and all of his ventures from Web 2 because he started a card game. He did a bunch of stuff within Web 2. He's a big cards, shoes, stuffed animals. He's a collectibles person. And everybody knew about him. So as soon as he launched an event via cryptocurrency, an NFT, everyone was looking to buy it. How do I buy it? And they're educating themselves further to get involved with it. And I think that was probably one of the bigger steps in cryptocurrencies when we actually started getting physical events, in-person events, being accessible by digital tokens.
Yeah, digital assets. So the pass, you could enter into VCon with the pass. And then you could resell your pass or use it for something else after the fact, too, besides also just being a digital asset collectible. Nelk Boys did the same thing with concerts. They were having digital assets where people would scan their NFT pass, and then you would enter into the concert with it. And then now there's a couple of tokens being released that are music artists orientated. I don't know all the details of it, but they're coming up right now too.
So there's a lot of information being dropped tonight. A lot of information, a lot of news, and a lot more potential.
Well, I mean, people don't understand that it's not such a small segment. It's pretty big. It's world encompassing. It's international based. It's not just a country based or a city based or a state based. It's international based. And we have people all over the world in Web3, in digital assets, in tokens, in crypto. So crypto's like the universal currency that's being used out there, that you don't have to transfer USD to yen or like currency to currency. Everybody, it's our universal currency that's being utilized for a lot of things. So it's expanding the market share. It's increasing our reach around the world. We have international hours, 24/7 all the time.
24/7.
We don't sleep. But there's always something going on. And there's businesses being created from it, businesses being anchored with it. There's so much potential going on. It's not just an unknown factor. It's becoming mainstream and working its way over to Web 2 and into the real world. So it's a lot to learn and know, and it has a lot of potential and will become something that everybody's talking about probably in a couple of years. Where we've been doing it for a while, but we're trying to bring out the education so everybody else can understand it and see it too, and then seek those opportunities or at least become knowledgeable so they can understand what's going on.
In that 2 year span between us continuously learning and everyone else kind of jumping in, what more potential do you think there can be for this market?
Well, and then here's the other thing too, is like, whenever we come into new tech or we come into new things that are coming into the market, like different phases of technology, I brought it up before, we go through these eras of technology. So people who've studied business in college or study economics or study, the cycle of what goes on in businesses, we keep coming into new technology cycles, and we're in one of those right now, where you can create a whole business model off of either crypto, Web3, Web2, AI, where you couldn't have done this before, like in the last probably 5, 6, 7 years. Maybe even more
than that. I feel like I don't think we saw any AI work being done in like, I'm going to have to say 2018, probably 2018.
Well, ChatGPT just came out a couple of years ago, officially.
I think that might have been the first time that there was AI. Probably been the first time.
But it's expansive where it's gone into devs and mainstream probably just in the last 6 to 7 months, I'd say.
Yeah, because now they're doing open source APIs, correct?
Right. Where you couldn't utilize AI unless you were a dev before, or you were on a beta testing, or you understood how to utilize it, or you had access to it. But it's become more accessible now in the real world, like IG, Instagram has it, and WhatsApp has it now. Bing has it on there. So people who don't know how to use computers or apps,
they somehow still get it because I don't know. Right. It's so expansive and it makes things so much easier for people.
Right. That's the thing too. So what's been going on is like we have all this new tech coming out. So we have Web3 and digital assets and crypto and blockchain. Right, which wasn't utilized probably in the last 12 to 24 months in mainstream. It's just starting to come over. So even like classes in high school or in college don't have that as that part of their education. I don't know if they brought it on this year, but the colleges I was working with on the students who were interning in the programs, they didn't have access to that. I had to teach them how to use it. Same thing with AI. It's been self-learned, self-taught, but not taught in the classroom yet. So the biggest thing that people have to understand is like, we are coming into new tech. We've been in new tech, and it's going to come into all parts and facets of our world. That if you don't understand the new tech, you're kind of going to be left behind. So like students that are in high school or in college should start learning about Web3 and blockchain and AI, because that's going to be their future. And if you're not getting taught in it right now to learn as much as you can on your own, because that's where the jobs are, that's what's needed, that's where we're snowball effect on what's going on with the technology right now. And before it was in classroom, like it's been self-taught. So that's what I had to do. I had to self-teach myself and learn as much as I could and then launch all this new tech so that it can become mainstream and that so that other people can utilize it who aren't tech savvy, and simplify it so that they can use it. But learning how to produce it is very important. So there's so much opportunity out there if somebody's looking for something or they want to add value to their career, or add value to their resume or to their education, to learn as much as they can about Web3, about crypto, about AI, because that is going to be the forefront of new technology, and that's where the jobs are going to be focused on, and that's where we're building out for the future.
I couldn't have said it better. But I do know that universities in Canada, I have a family member who's in studying law. They are learning about blockchain.
Oh, that's good.
The effect and like how law and tax primarily is going to be affecting the blockchain. There's been a lot of controversial tax law updates for cryptocurrencies in Canada. So I'm happy they're learning about it and maybe we can see a change in the future. But
they're not learning as like extensive on writing programs and building out. They're learning about how it implicates in law, which is exactly. Great. It's great exactly. Because that's still a great area too, right? So like in tax law and saying business if crypto law, is IP security, law. Right? IP, because it's because a lot of crypto and Web3 is international based, and so where do you draw the line on who is stealing your tech, which happens a lot in Web3 also.
Yes. Yeah, because people in Web3, I think you hide people can hide behind an image or their or a Twitter profile. Right. X now, they actually, I think, recently updated their website. It is no longer twitter.com. It is now x.com.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. That just happened. But people hide behind their profiles. And it, you have to be very, very diligent about who's who. So if you're a tech developer and you someone steals your tech, you don't know who it is. Right. You have no way to find out who it is. It, like the face behind or the person behind the profile. You have to take every single possible precaution to make sure that nobody can touch it.
Right. And then the developers working on a project too. I mean, it expands their portfolio, but now they have access to the new tech because they just built out some new tech too. So. Yes.
Interesting.
So we're coming into summer. So we talked a lot about crypto. Those are updates on what's going on. The market is rallying. ETH is hot right now. BTC is hot. Meme coins are hot. So it's a great time for volume and trading. And we're catching, oh my gosh, wait, we caught like a, what was it? 98,000x.
90,000? I think
it was like 90. It was like 98,516x. Not percent, but X.
X, yeah. Like a X. Multiplier on your money.
Right.
So that's $1 turned to $90,000.
Yeah, if you only invested $1.
I'd put $1 in to get $90,000 any day.
The odds. Yeah, it was, hold on. I'm looking up what the number was.
The exact number, because everything you can track.
In Web3, okay, so it was 91,818x. It went from a 4.4k market cap to a 404 million market cap.
But oh my gosh!
That's just one of them, though. Caught quite a few.
Quite a few heavy X's. Which one was that one?
Yeah, that was APU.
That was APU. Okay.
Yeah, but we caught what MAGA. Just ran crazy in the last 24 to 48, hit 70, 80 million.
Yeah, around there. And that one we caught at, it was like, was it
44K?
Yeah, 44K. Oof. If you want to catch a 44K to 80 million, I think that, I don't know, high risk, high reward, right? High risk, right. High reward.
But, you know, you can invest $5 for that and still be okay. Coffee money.
Or you could invest into something that that allows you to hit those more often than not.
Right.
Not cool. Everything that we say is not financial advice. Always do your own research.
Right. That hit a 1,818x in the last 48 hours.
Wow. Oh, wow. Past 48 hours. Just think about that.
So most returns on banks are what, 2% annually?
Yeah.
This is 181,818% return in 48 hours.
In 48 hours. That's 48 hours. not 48 weeks.
No. Not 48 years.
48 years.
48 hours.
Uh-huh.
As a percentage on returns, so 181,818% or yes.
You're the math person. You would know better than I do.
Right. Yeah. So we have a quick blurb. We have AI Signal ETH traders. That's the bots that we utilize. So it's AI Signal. And we have it on ETH, and now we have it on Base too. And Base has been running now for about 3 months. And Base caught Ski and Whiff, I think, like at a 13,000x also. But ETH has been around for over a year, the trading bot. So they have backtest historicals, proof of concept, all the information. And people can access it with just a subscription model because we're bringing it over to Web2 too. So you can utilize it by holding tokens or investing in tokens. And then you get to access the bots and the technology. Or if you do the subscription model, you can access it for an hour and try it out, a day, a week, a month. And then there's 5 to 6 different channels on each. And then we also have Sol coming out. Sol's been beta testing, but we haven't brought it out to the public yet. But we have it on beta right now. And then we also have sniper bots coming out that will do auto trades and snipe and do the system and strategies with the algos on the formulas so that you can enter low risk, similar to a MEV, but it does the system and the strategy so you can de-risk and then enter your profit and then exit with profit and then hold some in for free, like our system and strategy that we utilize. So I know we haven't talked about the system and strategy in a while either.
In a while. It's been, what is it now? How many episodes actually have we been through?
I know.
That we haven't talked.
Like 3 months or so in now, right?
It's been ages since we've referenced and talked about the strategy. Maybe we should do a refresher episode to go back over those strategies and how we're looking at it, especially now that.
Right. So when we trade, yeah.
You can continue. Take the floor.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No.
Just saying now that more people are coming into crypto, they need more education and they need more tools to utilize. And so this helps with tools too. But we also teach how to trade. Like we've been teaching y'all how to trade on here. We have videos and audio and bullet points and information on how to trade and how to enter into a trade. And then just paper trade, which means just trying it out, like watching it, saying, oh, I'm going to enter at this price. I'm going to invest $5. Okay, now I'm going to exit at this price. Now I'm at $100. Hypothetically, if I did that trade, I would have made $95 profit. And then you try that over and over again while you practice. And then after you get down the system and the strategy a little bit and you're utilizing the technology and the bots, then you move on to low ETH or low base, like you only invest $5. So you try it out with just $5. Never invest a lot of money whenever you're learning something because you need to catch that learning curve and practice. Just like you practice any sport or learn anything in life, you don't master it on day one, but practicing, you end up mastering it. And going back to the skill sets, and that's what we've been doing the last 7 days, is going back to our original base and back to our skill set and then practicing our skill set over and over again until we master it. And then practice that. And then do the system and the strategy. You enter as soon as you hit close to 2 to 3x, you de-risk, which means you take out the initial investment that you had in it. So if I invested $10 and I went to $20 or $30, I would take out my initial $10. And now I'm writing for free with a $20 profit and my $10 is back in my pocket and I can use it again and again. And then that 20 to 30, if it goes up now to 60, you take out half. And now you have $30 in your pocket plus your initial 10 and you have $30 writing for free. And then that 30 goes up to like another 60, take out some more, take out another 30, leave the rest of the 30 in and keep writing it for free. And you just collect your profit. And then if it crashes and it goes to zero, you have your initial investment, you have your profit along the way. And then that money that was writing for free may have gone down to nothing, but we also have revivals, so things come back to life, like stocks, bonds, futures, options, the prices fluctuate. Prices fluctuate in the market with tokens too, and so something that may have gone down, it'll come back to life, and then the price will go back up again, and now your 30 or 60 that was left in for profit may have gone down, but now it comes back to life and may go to like 100 or 200 out of the blue. So that's like the basic trading strategy in a nutshell, but we always say de-risk, paper trade, do low amounts, high risk, low ETH, high risk, high reward. But just practice over and over again till you master something. Don't think that you're going to become a millionaire on day one. I mean, it happens. Sometimes it happens out of the blue, but the best way to do is to practice things.
Practice, practice, practice. I think we've preached practicing, I think, every episode now because of how important it is.
It is very important.
if you don't practice, and even people like myself and Elizabeth,
me.
We practice every single day,
right?
and whether it be doing the same process over and over again, we may seem like amazing traders, but even we are still learning. We still need practice. There's new strategies that come into light. We have to practice, and that takes us another 1 to 2 weeks to practice as well. We are the same as everybody else. Everybody right. takes time to practice.
And the market's always changing too. So you have to adapt to what the market's going on. And then you have to change your strategy a little bit. And by practicing it over and over again, you see the new system, you see the new strategy. Like the basics always remain the same, but you have to modify based on what's going on in the market. So like coming in with ETF and ETH and BTC rallying means a lot of volume came into the market and things went faster. Where we had a little bit of slowdown because the market was on a little bit of a slow. And when it's on slow, it takes longer to execute your trade or to get your profit. And so you have to adjust. But when the market speeds up, the X's come in faster and they run faster. So you have to execute and get in and then get out quicker than you would have if it was a slower market because the volume's faster.
I think that's almost perfect. But I think the one thing I'd have to add on to that, maybe I might have missed it somehow, but okay. I think in terms of judging other people with different times of the market based on what's going on, whether it be through real life occurrences, like, for example, wars or financial crises, everybody's plan changes and the strategies will change completely. They will be flipped on their heads. And it's whoever can pick up on those strategies the fastest are the ones that capitalize.
Right. When everybody's in fear and they start to sell off, if you know that we always cycle usually and bounce back, that's a good time to enter. Most people are selling off. You're going to get things at a low price. You know, like we had hit 29. So we had hit 29 just a couple of days ago. If people were investing instead of worried about the market, they would have been on the ride up. Same thing like when we had fears come into the market on outside world events, which causes like Dow to go down. It causes stocks, bonds to go down. It causes everything because of the unknown. And crypto had a pullback too. That's like the best time to get in, actually. As long as you know that there's going to be a bounce, we always have cycles.
There'll always be a cycle. Always. Always, always, always. And I think learning the first cycle or the past cycles, the sooner you get in to learn what's going on now, the easier it's going to be to learn the next cycle.
Right.
The easier
history repeats itself too.
It does. It does. So if you were here in web, if you were in Web3 or trading stocks or flipping real estate last year, there's a repetitive cycle going on right now, and you would be able to capitalize on the dips and swings of the market because you'd understand, oh, okay, so there was a little bit of a financial crisis, or there's the tax rates are going up, or the interest
or the
rate
Fed
is
meets.
Going up.
Whenever the Fed meets.
Fed meets, everything goes ballistic.
Right.
So whenever something like that happens, you already know what to predict. So you're like, oh, I'm on top of this. I know that if the Fed meets, everything is going to go down because it's always a negative outcome when the Fed meets.
But then it bounces back within 7 days.
Exactly. Like, so you know, you can, if the Fed's about to meet, you can, not financial advice, you can short the market and then be like, okay, 7 days, I'm going to long it. As soon as I know it's reached this 5% bottom, I'm going to long it. It's going to reach back up to that 5% top. I'm going to de-risk and I can hold the rest.
Yep.
And that is exactly how it works. You're able to catch on to these trends and instances of the cycles in the market and the common occurrences that happen, like, for example, the Fed meets, then you can capitalize every time and without fail, because you understand and you've seen it over and over again. And then when your friends ask you, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I practiced for a year and I experienced all of these different things. And now every time it happens again, or a similar occurrence happens, I'm able to jump on it right away and I know exactly what to do.
Yes, cycles happen and you can predict the market based off cycles and what's happened historically. So, and practicing and being in it over and over again you become aware of it. But we're coming on a holiday too, so we're also coming on summer. So a lot of people are going to start traveling soon.
Ooh, I know I'm going to start traveling soon. I love travel.
Yes, so that's coming up. So the holiday weekend is up. Holiday weekend, sometimes we also have a pullback in the market, but we're also close to end of the month. So we're going to start rallying again too. But there's a lot of deals going on in the market. Like Hawaii, you can still go to Hawaii, fly out of LA for $150. And the good thing about crypto and Web3 and AI and technology is you can be anywhere in the world and still do it. You can still work.
You can work remote
at any time zone. It's just a little harder being in Hawaii and having to wake up earlier when everybody else is awake. You stay awake longer, but everybody else is asleep. Yeah. So like Hawaii right now, they have some deals going on. And I'm changing the subject so that, because we're coming into the fun weekend, right? We're coming into the holiday weekend and people are going to start being in vacation mode. But there's some deals going on right now. Like you can fly from LA to Hawaii or to OGG to Maui for like $150. And then there's flights from Honolulu to Sydney for $150 coming up in June and July too. So we'll have information on that, like how to access that information. Once you go, whenever you travel and you go into peak months, which are summer months, because that's when everybody's on vacation, prices tend to go up. There's also a fly pass going on right now. Like if you fly Frontier, you can get an annual pass. If you book last minute, you can get your flights for close to free or $20. If they have a flight pass, it's called. So that's going on in the market right now. And then look for deals, like people who have to cancel their travel plans and have a timeshare or something, and you can get like a week in a condo oceanfront for like $1,000. So there's a lot of different opportunities to travel right now. And that will be coming out soon too. We have that access and information. And then also the availability to purchase it if you're in Web3. So
I'm going to add one thing too. Like even in Canada, I recently, like within the past week, found out that I can fly within Canada for like $100.
Oh, awesome.
So that is something I never found before, but listening to the tips and tricks and implementing them, I kind of picked up on trends, and now I could fly from, let's say, Toronto to Vancouver for $150. Same day booking.
Nice.
And I never thought I'd be able to do that. And now I'm like, I can fly wherever, whatever.
And then seasons too. So like if you pick your seasons and you fly spring up until summer, and then you fly end of summer, like August until October, you can get really good deals too. You can go to like Greece or Italy or Europe for $125, and then stay in some great locations for $25 to $50 a night, because it's kind of their off season. It's not their peak season. And you can get like villas and luxury apartments or hotels that are close to the water, because you're traveling on the off season, like right on that border before the season starts. And then right at the end, tail end, when it says season's ending until like the fall. So like if you time it, just like you time the market, you can find really good deals.
Good deals are everywhere if you look at the right place at the right time.
Right.
And that's kind of everything at this point. Right place, right time. Right. And once again, it comes down to practice, but just get in things early. I can't stress it enough. If you're an early adopter into something, you will 9 times out of 10 gain more than you lose. Let's say it doesn't take off. If you're an early adopter in something, you will 99% of the time gain some form of value that you can implement somewhere else.
Yeah, because you can apply pretty much everything that you learn into
everything.
Something life. Else or a new tech or life experiences. Like arbitrage. Finding gaps in the market on travel, finding gaps in the market on housing, finding housing that is low cost but high rents, and then entering into that. So arbitrage, finding spreads on crypto. If you buy from one platform and sell on another platform, sometimes there's a spread. So you can make money on the spread, which is the difference of what the purchase price was and the sell prices. That's the spread. So there's a lot of different opportunities, finding prices in gaps in travel, like finding low cost. Where I did a search, and one of the searches was $2,000 for the air. And then I did another search and then found the air for 125. And it was the same day. It was just how the search is implemented, what you look for. That's the benefit of AI.
The AI does all of that for you.
All of it. Using algos and AI helps a lot.
I think AI, it does a lot of the heavy lifting for you. No one wants to search for 5, 6, 7, 8, 12 hours for a flight when AI can just search the entire internet in 2 seconds.
Right. Yeah, it scrapes all the websites, finds all the information, and combines it with AI, and then finds the lowest price like within milliseconds versus 7 days of research. And by the time you've done doing your research,
the price goes up.
The price changed again. Right.
Back to the drawing board. Oh, snap.
Right. Somebody, I've known people who planned out their whole entire vacation, but not book it, and like planned out everything based on what they thought they were going to do. Researched the whole entire thing, and by the time they were ready to book it, the price had like quadrupled and it was too late. So they had to change the plans again.
But that's okay. Remind me to not do that. I don't think I'll have to do that anymore, but remind me to never do that.
Some people like to plan though. So that's their joy of their vacation, is the planning part of it. But you also have to have that instinct to book so you don't delay and then lose that price.
I think most people, when they're booking a vacation, and if it's a long, where there's little stints, oh, I'm going to Italy, then I'm going to Greece, then I want to go to Portugal, Spain, all listed places they want to go. They take pride and joy in planning out each little step on their own.
Right.
Or working with another person, like a family member, or sometimes they like travel agents. I don't know why. I don't like working with travel agents, but they like to like sit there I want to go to this hotel. I want to pay this much. You know, I want to go to this restaurant this night. Some people find joy in that.
Right.
But if there's an AI that you say, I want to go here, 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 and I want it to include these hotels, it'll find you the best prices, and it'll do it. You save hours, days, months, because I know that stuff takes long. I've had to do it before, and it took me, I think without AI, it took me about a month and a half to find all the places, going from Italy to Greece.
Right, or the best path, or the best restaurants, or the best prices,
The best gelato in Italy.
The best gelato. But the good thing is like you can still plan after you discover where to go, right? Using AI, you can get the references, and then you can go down and do the details if you're a big planner, but make sure you book. I've had too many people come to me on two things this week, and it's been they haven't learned technology that they need to for what's going on in the world right now, and they're having to now do that. And then also that they stalled on booking out something, and then the prices quadrupled on something that they're about ready to book.
Ouch. That always hurts. That always hurts.
Right.
Be quick, be fast, because everything changes a lot faster. I think right now is the fastest everything is evolving, and people are adjusting prices because they're using AI. They see when people are looking. They see when all the high traffic times are. They're not changing it on their own. They got AI to do it for them, and you have to use an AI to beat the AI.
Right, and Tuesday is the best day to book a travel too. So don't book it during a holiday, and Tuesday is the best time to book travel.
Tuesday.
But next week, speaking of travel, I'll be in Florida, but we'll still be coming to you.
Florida's going to be nice. It's no longer going to be Aloha. I don't know what the saying is.
We got to find out the Florida saying.
We'll catch you guys next week, and we can find out what Elizabeth says in Florida.
what the Florida saying for hello is.
I'm taking bets it's some surfer language again.
Right. California, what's up?
What's up?
What's up? Later, dudes. Just kidding. Later, dude. California. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you for coming on. We gave you the updates on what's going on crypto. We have exciting stuff with travel coming up. And then if you want to get more information, reach out to us on AI Signal or send us a message. We'll have websites up and links up pretty soon here so you can access it. But thank you. See y'all next week.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.